Hello, my friends. Welcome back to week two. We will be starting most of these weeks now, moving forward, with a period of practice where sometimes I'll be introducing a new practice or we'll just be going deeper into a meditation practice that we've already done. And what we're going to do today is actually introduce a new practice, which will be a standing yoga sequence. Yoga brings up a lot of different things for different people. And there's often this feel of like, oh my gosh, no, I don't know how to, I can't do downward dogs, I can't do headstands. And the kind of yoga that we're doing in this curriculum is not intense like that, not an intense vinyasa flow or ashtanga. It's very light, gentle stretching. It's really designed to bring you fully in your body and become more mindful of just sensations in the body and how the body moves in that way. And exploring the body like this, slowly and gently with mindfulness, becomes like a foundation for how we bring mindfulness into action and into our lives and as we move throughout the day. Because we're moving constantly, whether it's walking to our car, reaching for the salt or the pepper, coming up out of bed. All of these are opportunities to engage in mindfulness and to also really listen into what does the body need right now? How is it doing today? Where are, some little kinks in the neck? What do I need to pay attention to? All of that serves us over the long term, especially as it relates to the health of our body and taking care of ourselves. So like yoga practice is one way that we can explore that. If you have any physical restrictions, you can do this whole sequence lying down and just adapt as, or not lying down, sitting in a chair and adapt as needed. And you will be getting a lying down yoga sequence next week. But for right now, if you want to do this in a chair, you can. And if the restrictions are more severe, more significant, then you can close your eyes and just visualize doing the movements. And what we do see is that you fire off similar neurons in the brain when you visualize yourself lifting your arm, in the same way that you, it's similar to the neurons that you would fire if you were actually lifting your arm. So there's similarities in doing it all the way down to the neurological level. So I'll guide you through this, right? And if you're not already, what you can do is stand up, or if you're doing the practice sitting down, you can sit down. And you'll see I have this cord hanging here. I want to make sure the audio is good, so there'll be a dangling mic. But wherever you're at, just find a good grounded standing or seated posture. Maybe feet about hips width apart, which is about two fists width. Slight bend in the knees, but just so slight that you can feel it, but no one else would be able to see it. And if you'd like to close your eyes, you can as well. We're slowly starting to move into what's called mountain pose. One thing that tends to happen when we sit at desks all day and go on our computers is the shoulders can get hunched and rounded over forward. So one way to correct that is you feel as though you're bunching the shoulders up to the ears and then contracting them in the back and then just allowing them to drop. And you might notice a nice expansion in the chest from doing this. If you'd like to open the palms up in front of you, you can do that as well. And the word yoga actually comes from the word yoke, which means to come together. And so here we're bringing together mind and body. In some traditions, they might say mind, body, and spirit. So if that works for you, you can do that as well. But on a most simple level, right, when we reach up, a hand up, we're feeling the body move. And so we're bringing the mind into the body, which is another way of developing that quality of presence and mindfulness. And so let's just start by lifting the arms up overhead. Nice and slowly. There's no rush here. Now, once the arms do get to the top, if you'd like to tilt your head up, looking up between your hands toward the ceiling, or keep the head forward if that's better for your neck, you're welcome to do that. And slowly letting the arms come back down, almost tasting the air between your fingertips. And then when you do come back to a grounded standing posture, you can always reconnect with the breath. Feeling the inhale and the exhale, or the feet grounded on the floor. Now we'll just do the right side. So just lifting the right arm toward the ceiling, toward the sky. As high up as it goes. If you're sitting, you can just allow I to stop here, but if you're standing, you could come up on your heel, the left foot, come up off the heel, so you're on your left toes. And so now we're really reaching up. We call this picking grapes. So imagine that there's a grape there, and you're just reaching up and trying to get one, but it's just out of reach. So drawing a nice diagonal line from the tip of the right middle finger all the way down to the toes of the left foot. And allowing that heel to come back down, and the right arm can gently float down through the air, inch by inch. No rush. Just tuning into the body moving. And now, as you stand here, notice is the left side begging to be moved as well? And if you do feel that sense of, like, oh, I want to do the other side. Notice, how does the body know that? How is it communicating that to you? You know, that's a form of its wisdom. And it's language telling you, like, oh, I need something. So we can tune into that. And then let's just do the left arm up now. We'll take care of it. And keep in mind, if you're working through chronic pain, you want to be very sensitive to the yoga movements and knowing where your boundaries are and what might be too much. And it doesn't mean that you're not tough enough to do this. It's just honoring where the body is at and how can we take care of it in the best way without causing more harm and exhausting ourselves. So if there are certain poses you need to do where you just visualize yourself moving, you can do that as well. Sorry, there are lots of bugs moving on my toes right now. If you haven't come off the right heel yet, you can do that. And we will come back down on the right heel and let the left arm gently follow. Moment by moment, inch by inch. So let's move into some neck rolls. And let the start by letting the head drop down to the right shoulder. And feel the stretch along the left side. And then letting the head drop forward. Feeling the muscles in the back of the neck and the upper shoulders, upper back starting to stretch. And then Allow the head to drop to the left shoulder. Feeling the muscles on the right side of the neck and shoulder relax and stretch. And then moving behind you. So now you're looking up toward the ceiling. Feeling the throat muscles start to relax. Well, not relax, but stretch more. And you can move through this sequence, you know, a little bit more quickly now, but in a way that works for you. Just rotating the head around the neck. If you want to switch directions, you can. And then coming back to a grounded, neutral posture, the head balance on the shoulders, balance on the torso, the hips all the way down to the lower body. And we'll do some shoulder rolls. And so just bunching them up, allowing them roll forward, letting them drop, contracting in the back. Just move through that movement, that motion, at a pace that works for you. As you're doing this, tuning into the parts of your body and noticing like, no, maybe the left side needs a little bit extra care today. And so feel free to maybe just move the left shoulder a little bit more. You're dropping your awareness into the body, feeling the sensations of this movement. If you want to reverse the direction, you can. And as you're seeing so far, all of these postures you could do sitting in a chair. All right, and letting the shoulders rest. We'll do a spinal twist now. So if you're standing, you can place your hands on your hips like this. And if you're sitting, you could also place your hands on your hips like this. And let's just trace the eyes over the shoulders as far back as they go. And then when you hit that point, now rotate the shoulders. And when the shoulders go as far as they can, you can rotate the lower body, keeping the feet grounded on the floor. Now, if you're sitting in a chair, you'll just make this rotation all the way down to the hip bones. So keeping the pelvis grounded in the chair. And we're just going to hold it here. This is a really nice pose to breathe in. Take a nice deep inhale. And then on the exhale, usually we can move a little further. And coming back to center and seamlessly transitioning over to the left side. And now you might notice that one side goes further than the other. And that's fine. That's natural. There are always all these asymmetries in the body. So you don't have to like force it to go further. Just notice where this part of the body is at. Coming back to center again. And in all these in-between moments, right, where we're just standing, it's a real opportunity to just Allow the body to completely disengage. To soften, to not feel as though you have to do anything, just to be fully here. And why is this so important? Because we need to be able to shift between gears in our life. There are times where we need to be in fifth gear. We need to be going, 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 and doing, doing. It's just reality. And then there are times where we don't have to be doing that. Or when we have a break at work, when we're just sitting at our desk and it's like a break from the emails, we have 5 minutes to ourselves. But we're often so much in fifth gear that we don't know how to use that time to shift down into first gear. And so here in the yoga, you have the opportunity to go from a stretch, which is exerting some energy, to now completely disengaging the body. And so see if you can fully rest in these in-between postures. All right, and we will do one last pose. This will be a forward fold. So if you're standing and if you're sitting, you could lift the arms up as high up toward the ceiling as possible, elongating the spine, and then allowing them to come down about halfway, expanding the chest, and then bending the knees, allowing your upper body to fold over the lower body. And if you're sitting, you could just fold over your lower body sitting in the chair. And so here, bend the knees as much as you need to try and create some contact between the belly and the quadriceps, the thighs. Now, some might really be able to have some straight legs and do that. For me, I have had tight hamstrings my entire life, and I'm working on them. But I really need to bend my knees a decent amount to help release some of the lower back here. So if you're in that camp with me, the tight hamstring convention, I have an annual membership. I'm actually the president. It's okay to bend your knees as much as you need to. This is more working with the lower back and softening and releasing. And then when you're down here, you could cup one elbow in each hand or let the hands rest down to the floor or grab behind your calves, whatever you like. Now, if you want to come out of this early, especially if you know that you have high blood pressure, this feels uncomfortable, you can absolutely come out of it. We are going to hang here about 10 more seconds. Now what we'll do is we'll slowly start to curl up, vertebrae by vertebrae from the base of the spine. All the way up until the head finally comes back up like this. Great. Great job with the yoga. If you did, I'm assuming that you did it. Obviously, I can't see fully, but wherever you're at with something like this is totally fine. And I remember when I first started doing yoga, there was a lot of judgment for me coming from myself. I've always been somebody that's been very tight. But since I was like age 5, I remember feeling really frustrated not being able to sit cross-legged, especially when all the other 5-year-olds in kindergarten were able to sit really comfortably like that. And so like tight muscles has been a big part of my life. And while yoga has certainly allowed me to expand within my own personal parameters and capabilities, it's also allowed me to do that with a little less judgment. And when I used to first go to yoga classes and see these super limber women basically like get their head all the way down to their feet, I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to do that. And I can make the argument that maybe someday I could if I really put in a lot of effort, but my body is most likely not going to go to those capacities. But at that point, it was like, Jeez, like I can't ever do yoga. And yoga is not that. It's not being super limber. It's not making your head, go between your legs while you're sitting down, reaching for your hands. Those are the asanas, meaning like the different poses that you can do, and there are different expressions of them. But yoga at its core, the essence of it is the relationship to the present moment and the relationship to the movement. And I work with people that are wheelchair bound, paralyzed from the waist down, and some from the shoulders down. And then the yoga becomes the visualization of the movement. And all of that falls into the category of yoga. So wherever you're at with this is great. And see if instead, like if you notice, all right, this is where my body is, and then you see like, well, someone else is all the way over here, so I got to get there. I mean, if you take that perspective of like that success, then you're always going to find yourself frustrated in life because everyone is doing something better. And if we kind of look at our own experience and say, oh, well, what's wrong with me? There's going to be this perpetual discontentment. And it doesn't mean that we can't use other people to inspire us. Absolutely. Let's do that. But it can be done in a way that is less abrasive and less judgmental.